Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. This is Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and I welcome you to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. And once again, this being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're with the women of mothers and ladies of our Women and Children's Center. And as I said, being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we thought we would talk about things like, what are we thankful for? What does it mean to really have like a grateful heart, to be grateful, to practice gratitude, all those good things? I do have a scripture I want to talk about, but I thought before we got to that, we'd just kind of go around the horn here and just kind of share some things that you are grateful for as we approach Thanksgiving later in the week.
Well, since I'm always the one first, my name is Nora, and I am grateful for my job and my car and my children and obviously the ministry where I'm at. For my health and the food that I get in my belly every night and the bed that I lay on. It's nice and warm. So, yes.
Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Thankful for Thanksgiving, the ministry, the family, the relatives, every day. And opportunity to be a part of ministry and family home settings and a safe place to sleep and look after myself.
Good, good. Anyone else?
I'm pretty grateful for just how me and my kids' lives are unfolding and rather quickly. I got a new job I actually really enjoy. I'm very grateful for that. My kids have everything they need, toys, books, so I'm grateful for that. I got a car I don't have to worry about, so I got a lot to be grateful for as well this Thanksgiving.
Winter coat?
Mm-hmm. I do, yes. It's cold out.
That temperature's changing, isn't it? Yeah. You got anything?
I'm just grateful for my kids' lives and their health. My son is getting a transplant next month, so I'm grateful for that.
Right. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for my family and my kids, and that got me a place to stay and a new job. And I'm just grateful for everything I got. And I don't worry about anything. I put my worries on God, and He said He will never leave us or forsake us. So I'm thankful for Him to keep me strong, because He is my strength and always have been. And I want to say thank you to God, and I'm thankful for the relationship that I have with God.
Any other thoughts? Anything pop in your mind? So on one hand, we see a lot of overlap, right? I think we can talk about, I think we all are grateful for family. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool in the sense that where would we be if we didn't have somebody to be in a relationship with, right?
But see, a relationship, people don't look at it. A relationship, like when I say with God, it's not like a intimate thing. It's a
friendship.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a relationship. You got to have that relationship when you communicate with Him. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people won't know or believe this, but when people say, you might say they're crazy or whatever, when people say, well, God spoke to me today, come said something to me today, it's true. It's really true.
I believe in that too. He doesn't have to necessarily speak to you. He can just show you.
It's not, he's not going to speak to you like me and you talk. It's going to come in your mind.
Yeah.
And you know it's him. You know.
Yeah.
Because it's just so crazy. So I call him, first when I was young, I call him instincts.
Premonitions.
Yeah.
All, yeah.
I thought of that for a long time. And the more I got into the Bible, read the Bible, then I learned it's him.
Ah.
And like when you read the Bible every day, things are just come, the words are come, just come to you. Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I want to come back to that, because when you were speaking earlier, I had a premonition.
A premonition? You did.
But there are commonalities in all the things that we're grateful for, whether that be basic needs, you know, a roof over our head, food in our bellies, you know, transportation, you know, we mentioned family. Those are all great things.
Job.
Yeah, yeah, source of income, sure, absolutely. You know, and I think all those are also reflections of the presence of God, right? That we really can't get to, you know, if you want to call it right, the attitude of gratitude, unless it's a presence of God thing.
That makes sense.
All right. So, as a theologian, studied a lot of theology in college and graduate school and all that kind of stuff, and. You know, if you break that down, theos comes from a Greek word. It means God, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ology, well, I don't, you can put that on the back end of biology or zoology or anything else. It tends to mean like study of. So in a sense, I'm one who studies God. Yeah, right. How do you do that?
Well,
right? But it's really, it's not some... I don't like the term in the sense that it really objectifies God. It makes God an object. Now, if I was studying biology, you know, there's something I might be able to slap on a little slide, right? Piece of glass, put it under a microscope, observe it like it's an object.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with God. And so we need to think of God as being this more subject. And if that's the sense, then it's just not about trying to study God as much as experiencing. But you can't experience without the presence.
Yeah, that's true.
So the mere fact that we can be grateful implies the presence
mm-hmm.
of the one who provides is in our midst.
Yeah.
So all those little things that we went around the horn and you said you're grateful for and you're thankful for, you could have easily just taken every single one of those and said, God. Because
mm-hmm.
every single one of those then become... Right? Uh-huh. Your experience of what God is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thus, there are so many scriptures throughout the Bible that refer to thankfulness, be grateful, rejoice always, you know, cease or pray without ceasing. That infamous Philippians 4, you know, in the peace that passes understanding, be grateful in all things. And I was going to point out this scripture that Paul talks about in his very first letter, right? Out of all the ones that are in there, the first one chronologically would have been 1 Thessalonians. In that chapter 5, verses 16, rejoice always. It's just a two-word scripture. Rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. Two
what
words.
Was it? Or what,
It's chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. To rejoice, praying, and giving thanks. Well, if you really practice that little recipe, It's kind of hard not to have a good day. Right? Now, we can have our trying days, all right? That's not ours. But in all circumstances, we start really, like, if we if we really think that we only experience the presence of God in the good, then we deceive ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because then what was the incarnation hanging on a cross? Because I guarantee you, I don't think Jesus is up there going, you know what, this feels great. No, right? This, either that or, you know, our Savior is a sadomasochist. All right? No, but somehow or another, there's still the sense of rejoicing. And this is not being happy. This is being confident. Even though I can't experience, even though it hurts, even though these trials and tribulations and testings are just beat me down. I know. Can't feel it, can't see it, but I know you're still here. That's what it means to rejoice, to stand firm in that conviction. All right? Praying without ceasing isn't walking around, you know, with our hands folded and our heads bowed down. And it's with that sense of internal awareness, then we are constantly in a relationship, a conversation, right? Which, if we're going to be honest, it isn't about us talking. It's about us listening. That's what I was going to come back to. We need to listen. Yeah, and when we get there to where we listen and we hear what God's saying, mm-hmm. and if you, in a sense, experience God's presence and all the things that we're grateful for, right? And we would say even the things we're not, although we don't really chalk those up too much, we may be a little more attentive to hearing what God has to say. And if we kind of hear, as you're alluding to, what God has to say to us, how can you help but not be grateful? Does that make sense? How you rejoice? A life, a prayerful life, leads to gratitude. And it's exactly, why is it the will of God through our Lord Christ Jesus? Because it tends to keep us humble. That it's not about me and my desires. You were going to say something?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, he did say that we would, life, during life, we are going to go to some storms, one after another, but he's going to bring us through a storm. The reason why we go through the things we do, because he wants you to see how strong your faith is. So when we go through tribulation and storms, what we're going through now, he wants us to get closer with him. He's going to bring us through the storm, but he wants to see how strong your faith is.
Well, and it's, there's so many stories about wilderness in the Bible, right? Moses and the Israelites out there a long time, right? 40 years. Yeah, Jesus, 40 yes. days. I mean, there's just, there's something about the wilderness. And the wilderness, metaphorically speaking, through the Bible, is about being in a space, right? Doesn't have to be a geographical space, but in like this space, to where I am stripped of everything so that I am now completely dependent upon the one who provides and protects. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, there's grace that comes out of the wilderness because it provides me the avenue in which I encounter the living God. So I could be out there, if you're familiar with the story of Moses and the Israelites wandering through the desert for 40 years, and it says they murmur, but it just means, you know, they're complaining. Yeah. I'm tired of eating manna every day in this quail. Can't we get some Mickey D's up in here? I mean, that's a little something. We're a lot like that, right? When it's not going the way I want it to, we tend to kind of complain. But it's precisely in the midst of stripping us of all those things that are really distractions or interference with our relationship with God. God loves us enough to try and strip all those things, not just to get our attention and everything, but so that we are now positioned to be in a, you know, positioned to be in a relationship with God. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Therefore, in all circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. This is it's, and we shouldn't be naive. You know, life's a lot like Clint Eastwood. I don't know if you're familiar too much with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly. I said, that's the definition of life. Part of it's good, part of it's bad, some of it's ugly. Well, I tell you right now, 2/3 of it are not that good. And yet we spend a lot of time and energy trying to make the bad and the ugly good, rather than finding the presence that is in all things. Mm-hmm. Closing thoughts, anything? Well, thank you, ladies. Appreciate you your participation on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, and I wish you all a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.